Now, we'd like to talk a little bit with a presidential candidate who may not have been on your radar. Lawrence Lessig is a professor at Harvard Law School. He has a conservative legal background. Earlier in his career, he clerked for Justice Antonin Scalia, but he ran as a Democrat whose campaign was focused on getting big money out of politics. However, he struggled to get attention and couldn't get an invitation to the debates. Earlier this week, he decided to end his campaign. Lawrence Lessig joins us from Brookline, Massachusetts. Professor Lessig, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Why now? I know it's been an uphill battle all along, but why was this the moment that you decided to end the campaign?
Well, of course, from the beginning, we recognized that this improbable campaign depended on being able to get into the debates. And when it became clear that the goalposts were moving and we were not going to get into the debates, it made no more sense for me to ask my family or my supporters to continue to make this run possible.
What was the goalpost that kept moving? Was it registering a certain percentage in the polls? Was it a certain amount of campaign finance? What was the goalpost?
Well, no, we had raised actually more than almost half the field, more than five of the Republicans. But the post was we had to be at 1% in three polls. That was what the DNC said within 6 weeks of the race. And at the end, the DNC was changing its rules, and then CBS upped it, so it was more than 1%. So we couldn't qualify under the new rule, and that's what made it necessary for us to step aside.
Well, looking back on it, is there anything that you think you might have done differently? Some of our observers were suggesting that your initial pledge to resign the office once your legislative package was adopted was really the fatal flaw that kept people from taking the campaign seriously. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think the hard thing is that what I wanted to talk about is something that the campaigns generally don't want to talk about, right? So people like Bernie and Hillary are running to be president, and I was running to be president to fix the corrupted and crippled institution at the core of our democracy, Congress. And you might say, so why should you elect someone who wants to fix Congress rather than directly be president? And the answer is, because all the amazing things that Bernie and Hillary are talking about are just not even credible until we address the corrupted, unrepresentative, crippled institution of Congress. And finding a way to get people to focus on that is really difficult, and especially in a context of three-minute cable news bites. But that's the challenge, and it was enormously rewarding to be able to have this connection with people trying to do it. But obviously, not enough to get over the numbers necessary to be in the debates.
Let's hear more about the substance of your argument that you just alluded to. What is it that caused this to be the issue that engaged you?
Well, nobody's surprised by the fact that it's Congress that is the failed institution in our government. You know, it has a single-digit approval rating. And the reason it's the failed institution in our democracy is, one, because of the way they fund their campaigns. You know, they spend 30 to 70% of their time raising money from the tiniest fraction of the 1%. So when they say they're representative, they're not representative of us because they're so concerned about how to raise the money to get back to Congress or to get their party back into power. And then also the crazy way in which they gerrymander districts, where the politicians pick the voters rather than the voters picking the politicians, it actually produces a Congress that is more polarized, more extreme than we Americans are. So the core problem that it became clear to me as I was watching the complete inability of our government to function is that we've allowed this institution, this representative body in our government, to become deeply unrepresentative.
You note that a number of the Democratic candidates, and even actually Donald Trump, has pointed out the influence of money in politics. Do any of them have proposals that you feel address the problem?
Yeah, I mean, compared to 2012, where neither candidate wanted to talk about this issue, in this election, Republicans and Democrats are talking about this issue. And in the Democratic side, they've actually identified proposals for change that would address this problem. The problem, though, is that they're not making it clear to the American people that we've got to make these changes first. And they're not explaining how they can actually bring the changes about. And if we don't have a plan where the people believe we're going to make these changes happen, then when they get to Washington and they try to take on the most powerful interests in our government, the most powerful interests in our government will beat back these efforts at reform.
And what are you going to do now that this particular avenue has closed for now?
Oh, I'm in this fight until we win. You know, I took this race up recognizing, you know, it was a one out of a million shot, and it was going to be incredibly costly personally and professionally. But the chance to be able to make this issue central was worth it because I am so convinced that if we don't find a way to get our democracy to face this critical problem, we're not going to get anything out of our government, and we desperately need a government that can actually work.
That's Lawrence Lessig. He's a professor at Harvard Law School and, until this past Monday, a Democratic candidate for president. Professor Lessig, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.